This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
إن الحمد لله أحمده وأستعينه وأستغفره وأستهديه وأعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من بين خلقه وخليله بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح لهذه الأمة صلوات الله وسلامه عليه يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد. Yesterday many of our sisters celebrated a global event known as International Hijab Day. And this was the 11th year where this day is recognized. And it reminded me of a concept that has become so elusive that many people require very detailed explanation of what it is. Though it is something that is very natural, that we even find in the animal kingdom. You see, human societies in modern days have experienced the erosion of this particular quality or concept to the point where it becomes very confusing to many people. So much so that if someone wants to explain it, though it exists almost in every culture and in every civilization, you really need a lot of words. People have to sit and sometimes go back and forth to define it exactly. Now, in Islam, we refer to it as haya. And I know in many cultures, the word is used the way it is used in the Sunnah, haya. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to it in the Quran. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised one of the two ladies that that Musa alaihi salam interacted with. When one of them was sent back by her father to summon Musa alayhi salam and to be rewarded for what he did for them, for the service he rendered. Those of you who are familiar, we know that Musa alayhi salam came upon two ladies that were standing on the side waiting for other shepherds to finish, and then Musa basically offered to help them alayhi salam. So we're told in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that the father of these two ladies, when they told him what Musa did for them, what this total stranger did for them, he sent one of them to invite him, to call him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that when she came to approach Musa alayhi salam, she came in a particular demeanor, in a particular fashion. When she was walking towards him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَجَاءَتْهُ إِحْدَاهُمَا تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَاءَ. One of them came to Moses, peace be upon him, walking modestly, or she was in a state of bashfulness. She was very careful when she approached him and when she spoke to him. And what is interesting is that out of this, the details of this story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights this particular point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually mentions this. Allah didn't say, and one of them came. It could have said that one of them came and spoke to him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlighted this. Tamshi ala sihya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned how she approached him. Later on, we're told that she told her father. Many scholars say probably it was the same one, because the Quran is not specific as to which one of the two sisters was the one that actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was referring to. Because Allah, you know, the Quran keeps saying ihdahuma, one of them. But it doesn't say whether it's the same one or not. Many scholars say it was the same one, including, this is the opinion of Ibn Abbas and many other great scholars throughout our history, that insists on the fact that it's probably the same one. It's the same one. We know that she recommended that Musa, that her father hires him. And in her testimony, she said, "Father, hire him." And then she says, "For the best person for you to hire, in the khayra man istajart al-qawiyul amin, a person who's strong and who's trustworthy." Now, it is said that her father said, "How do you know that he's strong? And how did you figure out that he's trustworthy?" So she said to him, "Well, he's strong because we told you earlier how he was able to lift the rock by himself. So he definitely is very strong physically and fit. But as for his trustworthiness, when you sent me to invite him, I started walking in front of him to lead him. So he told me, it's better for you to walk behind me and guide me from behind. Let me walk in front of you." Now, obviously, he didn't do that because he wanted to establish his supremacy or his dominance over her, but rather because he was very protective, alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam. And this is part of his character. This was part of his personality, alayhi salam. So the Quran tells us that not only did she come in a state of bashfulness and haya and modesty, but also Musa responded with the same. She came in a dignified manner, and Musa alayhi salam treated her with dignity as well. Now, in our sunnah, we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and again, I'm saying this because this whole concept of haya, which is, by the way, very critical and important. There's a narration that says that actually the trademark of a Muslim, that the primary and main quality of Islam that should be celebrated is haya. Now, we know that we live in a time, and sometimes also it's part of the popular culture, that is really anti-haya. Because there is always this fear, and even some of the most decent people, sometimes they struggle with this concept of haya. Because what comes to mind is haya makes you dysfunctional. They think that haya can make you dysfunctional, where in reality that's not the case. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu, tells us that the Prophet came upon two individuals from the Ansar. One of them was admonishing his brother, another community member. He was telling him that he needs to be less shy, that you're way too shy, you know, people take advantage of this. And he was trying basically to go against that individual's natural disposition. That person was very shy by nature. So this brother of his, this other community member, this friend of his, is trying to tell him, "Hey, you need to be less shy, you need to be a little more assertive and strong and this and that. You know, your shyness is not getting you anywhere." He was advising him. The Prophet, passing by, he overhears this conversation. The Prophet makes it a point to stop, interrupt this conversation, and say to the man who was actually admonishing the other person, who was telling the other person to be less bashful and less modest and less shy. Because again, I can't find one word really in English that will do this concept of haya a service. If I must choose one, then it would be modesty or decency. So the Prophet said, "Da'hu," leave him alone, man. Leave him alone. فَإِنَّ الْحَيَاءَ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. For haya is actually part of iman. Haya is, as a matter of fact, indicative of iman. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, when he spoke about how haya is made of 70-something levels or different branches, he said, وَالْحَيَاءُ شُعْبَةٌ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. And haya is one of these branches of iman. So that the scholars say that actually haya, the level of the individual's haya and modesty and sense of shame and decency goes hand in hand with that individual's iman. So the higher the individual's faith or iman in Allah and awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's presence, the higher their haya would be. And obviously the highest form of haya is to be, and the most important and critical, is to have haya with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to watch what we say and what we do and make sure that is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala approves of. It's something that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is important for us to have that conversation. In a time where we're told that you shouldn't be shy, you shouldn't be modest, you should boast, you should brag. In a time where even culturally we are introduced to different concepts and practices, because one of the dangers of haya, as a matter of fact, maybe the most dangerous thing is the fact that if a person reaches a level where there is no haya left in them, then they're capable of committing the worst atrocities that you can imagine in cold blood, without fearing any blame, without fearing any repercussion, without fearing any pushback from anyone. They don't care, especially if they possess power. They don't mind displacing tens of thousands of people. They don't mind killing tens of thousands of people in broad daylight, massacring them, because they feel that they're justified. They don't even have a sense of shame. And then they will come and pretend to be the victims and play that role. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna mimma baqiya lin-nasi min kalami nubuwwati al-ula," that of what remains still until this day, what remains to be true, what was inherited from the legacy and from the tradition and from the heritage of the early days of Nubuwwah, what prophets passed on from one prophet to another, what they taught, one of these prophetic, timeless prophetic teachings is the following. إِلَّمْ تَسْتَحِي فَصْنَعْ مَا شِئْتْ. If you have no shame, do as you wish. Do whatever you want. Because there is nothing that will prevent you from doing whatever you want. Because you have no sense. You lost that sensitivity. You lost that sense of shame within you. This is what the lack or the... this is the lack. What the lack of haya does eventually. This is why it's very dangerous. We have to. Now, haya is something that we are born with. And some people have high levels of it, and some people have less of it. But it's something natural. So there is the type that is part of our nature, and then there is something else that is nurtured within us. The kind that is part of our natural dispositions as human beings is what prevents us from committing shameful acts It's what actually causes us to do a lot of things that we do without really asking ourselves why we do them. It's just part of our natural daily practice. You know, the way we dress, for instance. The way we dress is what causes us to avoid doing certain things so that we don't really, get dirty looks from people. This is natural. Now, the other type, the one that we acquire, comes from knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing the greatness of Allah azza wa jal, and knowing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for, and being aware of our actions, and that Allah azza wa jal is watching everything that we do. So we reach this very lofty level of hayat and awareness, self-awareness, that we're even watch our thoughts. We're careful with our intentions and motives, let alone our actions and reactions. And this is one of the highest forms of haya. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let you and I enjoy the taste of haya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people of haya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow you and I to be of those who listen and follow the best of what they listen to. أقول هذا القول واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه يغفر لكم إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina astafa wa ba'd. My dear brothers and sisters, please make sure that not only that you become an example, you know, for your family members and for your community members when it comes to haya and shyness and modesty, but make sure that you also appreciate that when you see it in other people, inshallah ta'ala. And make sure that you continue to pray for our brothers and sisters who are suffering anywhere in the world, but especially in Gaza. Remember them in your dua, and any form of support that you can render, that you can offer, make sure that you provide that support. And I stand here, and I stand in every khutbah ever since these things started, really feeling that sense of shame, of not being able to do much more than that. But do not underestimate the power of dua. The thought itself, in and of itself, matters, to think about them. And also appreciate the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. And last advice that I have, my dear brothers and sisters, let us overlook some of these things that we put too much value into. When our brothers and sisters are suffering, and you know, some of us here really waste effort or time or energy over trivial matters and dispute with one another or with our family members over the little things. It just doesn't say, it says something about that person. We cannot be oblivious to what other people are going through and what they're enduring. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them victorious. Ameen, Rabb al-Alameen. عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر وصلوا على من أمرتم بالصلاة والسلام عليه يقول ربنا تبارك وتعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وآل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد أقم الصلاة